You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, Nathan Zagura, alongside Jason Gibbs, in for Matt Wilhelm, who's vacationing down in Florida on the Buckeye Cruise. We'll be with you all the way till 3 o'clock, 216-578-0850. A lot to talk about here today. Again, just to reset the scene, our Ohio business machine's hot topics. What four players would be on your Browns Mount Rushmore? Mike Pettine talking to the media today at 3. If you could ask him one question, what would it be? Same for Ray Farmer, who will address the media tomorrow at around 10:45. And finally, the Browns have sent an email to the presidents of all their Browns back organizations saying a new logo and primary team logo will be unveiled on Tuesday. What do you think that logo is going to be? What would you like it to be? Let us know. Again, you can tweet us, and it's Mailbag Wednesday. Tweet us using the hashtag mailbag, at Nathan Zagura, at Browns underscore daily, at BGSU Gibbs. All right, let's go to the phone lines now, 216-578-0850. Mark in Brook Park, welcome to the show.
Hey, how are you guys?
Good, how are you?
I'm well, thank you.
Good.
For my Browns Rushmore?
Yep.
It's got to be players only, right?
Yep.
No coaches?
No coaches. I went specific. Yep. Oh, there we go. You can hear me now. No coaches.
No. Okay. Then let's go from old to young, and we'll go Otto Graham, Jim Brown, Bernie Kosar, and Joe Thomas.
That is, I think, a very strong Rushmore. Otto Graham, Jim Brown, Bernie Kosar, and Joe Thomas. That could be similar to the one that I put together when I initially wrote everything down. I think, you know, from the modern era, Joe Thomas is really the only name that has a shot at being on there. You know, 8 straight Pro Bowls. I think that's a good one. I think that's pretty strong right there.
Yeah, since 99, I mean,
is there anybody
outside of Joe Thomas?
No, I mean, Joe Hayden is not ready to be on the Rushmore just yet. If he plays, you know, 4 more phenomenal years or 5 more phenomenal years, perhaps he gets in the discussion. But you've got Otto Graham. I think when you look at it, Otto Graham and Jim Brown are probably locks, right? Shouldn't they be on everybody's Mount Rushmore?
I would think, but not really, not the case.
I mean, it's not on Twitter. I can see that is not happening.
Yeah, exactly.
But to me, it would seem to me, Jim Brown's, you know, many people think the greatest player of all time. You know, some people say it's Jerry Rice. I know NFL Network did that. But, you know, you got to have Jim Brown on there, I would think. And then after that,
Jim Brown's,
you know,
a must.
Otto Graham, do you go with him because of the success? You know, that's, I think you're going to get a little bit of recency bias there. Some people might leave him off. You know, Ozzie Newsome probably could get into the discussion.
That was my question. Should Ozzie be in the conversation?
Does Clay Matthews get in the conversation? Does Lou the Toe Groza get in the conversation?
What about Brian Sipe?
What about Paul Warfield? Brian Sipe? Paul Warfield's in the Hall of Fame.
Mike Beckwith just tweeted at us. Otto Graham, Jim Brown, Lou Groza, and Marion Motley.
Who is Marion Motley?
Come on now.
I really don't know who Marion Motley is.
Really?
Yeah, it was probably embarrassing.
Oh, boy.
How old school is he?
He's championship next to Jim Brown. He's got a bust in Canton.
He's got a bust in Canton. So he's
kind of a big deal.
So they've got four. He went all four Hall of Famers.
Yes.
Graham, Brown, Groza, and Motley.
Yep.
So Warfield is the only one who's a Hall of Famer that's not really getting a whole lot of love right now.
Correct.
As things pile in right now, we've seen a lot of Lou the Toe. You've seen a lot of Jim Brown, a lot of Otto Graham. That's our first Marion Motley. So keep them coming in. I like it. Who's on your Browns Mount Rushmore? I'm gonna give Joe Thomas is gonna be on mine. I can tell you that. Steve in Austin, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks. First, I want to say you were right about that Laron Bird thing. As far as him joining the team.
Yeah, that was basically the swap that was made. Yep.
Right. So for my Mount Rushmore, I would agree with the previous caller on those four, but you know how they have that crazy horse monument that they're building? On that one, I would put Steve Everett because he wore the Browns bandana on the sidelines the first year the Ravens had a season. He wore the Browns bandana under his Ravens helmet. Coach told him to take it off, and he said no. But what I really wanted to call about was these Mike Glennon rumors. Somebody on Bleacher Report, I don't remember if it was Mike Freeman or somebody else, tweeted something about Welcome to Cleveland.
It was Mike Freeman who said that. Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, so I watched three of the Tampa games before the Browns played them this season, and I have never seen as a team such bad body language from the rest of the team directed towards the quarterback. You know, you have the once in a while, like single player like Braylon Edwards sticking Charlie Fry's jersey against Cincinnati, or Dez Bryant getting in Tony Romo's face and all that. But as a team, like just the slumped shoulders, shaking the heads, like so disgusted with Mike Glennon's play. I don't see why you would want to bring that to this team. And Nathan, I know you're a stat guy, so I got a couple quick stats for you. 4-3-2-1, okay? Four skill position players drafted in the top 50 at Tampa. How many would Mike Glennon have here? Three receivers 6'5 or taller that are on the field. How many would Cleveland have? How many would Glennon have here?
One, and it's debatable that Roddy Smith would get on the field.
Right, that's my point. And two times he was benched for Josh McCown.
Correct.
Just last season. And Josh McCown's a free agent. And one is the number one overall pick that Tampa has because of bad play at quarterback. So why would you want to bring that to our team? What's worse than spending a draft pick on a bad QB is spending another draft pick on a bad QB.
So I would answer this. Who in the Browns has thrown 29 touchdowns and 15 interceptions? Who's 6'7"? Who actually, a lot of scouts from around the NFL think Glennon is actually very good, was a victim of terrible offensive line play, and actually played, you know, played very well despite the limitations around him, especially as a rookie. Now, they switched offensive systems again in his second year when Lovie Smith came in. Their offensive coordinator, Jeff Tedford, wasn't around due to situations off of the field. So I think that, you know, it was a tough situation down there for him. Listen, Josh McCown was brought in to be the starter. I think you look at the tools. What does he have? He's got the size. He's got the big arm. He's shown a proclivity to throw two touchdowns for every interception in the National Football League on tough teams. So I don't necessarily look at it like that with him, where I say he's got no chance just because of the fact that, you know, he was in Tampa and Tampa's now got the first pick in the draft. You know, Jacksonville's picking second, you'd still take Blake Bortles, and I wouldn't say that their body language was good. And you look at the guys that they had, that they've invested in at wide receiver, you know, two early picks this year, Marquise Lee, Allen Robinson. They've got Cecil Shorts. They had a first-round pick in Mercedes Lewis. But I don't think people are ready to completely write Bortles off. And yet Glennon was in the second round. And Glennon, by the way, has been a much more productive professional quarterback than Blake Bortles ever was. So it's just, I don't know if he's coming here. We'll see what happens. But in my opinion, you know, you're going to see Mike Glennon's name come up because there aren't many guys that are prototypical pocket passers that have the size, arm strength, and that have actually had some success in the NFL. A lot of people who watch that Tampa tape, and that's one of the reasons why there's so much interest in McCown. You could say McCown was dreadful last year, but a lot of the interest in him comes from what he did in 2013 with Chicago. But also when you watch the Tampa tape, you see an offensive line that does no favors to their quarterback. So in I believe that Mike Glennon still has some tools and is worth looking at and worth developing. So
I like Glennon. I think, you know, outside of, you know, the top two that we know at free agency in regarding quarterbacks, outside of Hoyer, outside of Sanchez, I mean, why not take a flyer on this guy?
That's what I'm saying.
He's got the NFL body. He does have a little pedigree. I mean, he's had some success in this league. Maybe it's the system. Maybe there were a lot of factors we don't know about with him in Tampa Bay last year.
And again, to me, it's about what you evaluate and what you see. That's why I think, you know, to Mike Glennon coming in on his rookie deal, he'd have 2 years left on a rookie deal, so he's inexpensive, and you're hoping that he doesn't cost you that much. When you look at, you know, a guy like Nick Foles, same thing, would still be on a rookie deal, not going to cost you that much. You're just taking a shot and you're looking. I believe that the asking price is going to be coming up too. It's going to be going too high. It seems like now there's talk that they won't trade him for anything less than a second. I'm not trading a second round pick right now for Mike Glennon. But
no.
If you could get him at a good price, then that's something. Why wouldn't you kick the tires and see what you can do there? That's something that I certainly would look at if I was the Cleveland Browns. So that's to me, the quarterback situation and all the reports are, listen, it doesn't sound like the Brian Hoyer back to the Browns thing is going to happen. And maybe it will if Brian Hoyer goes out and the market's not what he expected it to be for him and the Browns don't like any of their other options. Maybe they come back and they kind of get together again. If not, I do think you're looking at going and trying to get an opportunity to go ahead and get a guy like, you know, Mike Glennon, trade for a Nick Foles. you know, or you're looking at a Josh McCown, which, you know, Mary Kate Cabot reported yesterday, the Browns are interested in talking to Josh McCown. Bigger guy, 6'5", strong, a little bit mobility. He, you know, had a very brilliant season in 2013, replacing Jay Cutler with the Chicago Bears. So these are people that will be looked at, and the Browns have to do something there at quarterback. I don't think there's any question about it.
Yeah, I still like Hoyer as the option. I think that a guy that, you know, that you know that you can put in place, that's going to do what's asked of him, and you know, he's not going to make too many mistakes. He's going to control the game for you. And you're hoping, you know, with the return of Alex Mack, that running game's back. I think he's still your best option, even if the Browns maybe don't feel that way. But there are a lot of other guys out there that might be able to come in and give you what Brian Hoyer gave you, and maybe give you a little bit more. Maybe Mike Glennon is one of those guys. Maybe he's worth it. He's not worth the second round pick. You know, you're not. you shouldn't be trading anything of value. Per se. I know how much everybody in this city values their draft picks, but, you know, if you want someone, go out and get them. If you can improve, if the goal is to have more than 7 wins next year and find a way to do it. And if you think that there's a quarterback out there that can help you get to that point, go get him.
Go get him. No question
That's
about
all
it.
I got.
No question about it. All right, when we come back, we will return here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. We'll continue to talk about the mailbag. We'll continue to talk about Browns Mount Rushmore. You guys seem to be liking that. And also, I want to hear what your questions are for Mike Pettine and Ray Farmer. I think right now the Browns under media scrutiny. So if you had the opportunity, the open forum, what would you ask the Browns head coach and the Browns general manager? Nathan Zagura, Jason Gibbs here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. We create a song.